Kære metalheads, kære lyttere,
det er blevet den 1. august, og ja, det betyder som altid, at der er en ny podcast klar til jer. Og ja, hvilken podcast I har i vente her. Sammen, der skal vi nemlig ud på en lang og på mange måder spændende musikalsk rejse sydpå. En rejse, der byder på både spændende og anderledes melodisk metal, inden hvad vi kender her fra de nordlige breddegrader. Men det er også en rejse, der bringer dig fortællinger om splittelse, censur, had og undertrykkelse i kontrast til de helt store venskaber, fællesskaber og broderskaber, som vi oplever igennem musik og i særdeleshed igennem metalmusikken. Kan metal være med til at skabe fred i verden? Sikken et stort spørgsmål, og det er et af de store spørgsmål, jeg stiller mig selv i denne her august måneds podcast. Kære lytter, jeg er hamrende stolt over at kunne give dig et unikt indblik i en scene, vi herhjemme kender meget, meget, meget lidt til. Den mellemøstlige og arabiske metalscene, fortalt igennem to venner, en israeler og en palæstinenser, fra to landområder, der igennem flere årtier har udkæmpet den ene blodige kamp efter den anden. Jeg snakker med Kobi Fardi, forsanger i Israels ved nok største og mest anerkendte metalband gennem tiden, Orphaned Land. Og jeg snakker med Arbet Ratut, guitarist i det palæstinensiske band Khalas. Og han er samtidig også leder af den fornyeligt oprettede palæstinensiske Music Export. Sammen, ja, der har begge bands netop udgivet 12-tommers split-vinylen The Peace Series Volume 1. En udgivelse, der skal være med til at sætte fokus på kunsten og musikken i den arabiske verden. Frem for, ja, had og ødelæggelse. Men inden, kære lytter, vi når dertil, ja, så skal vi naturligvis høre lidt musik. Og eftersom jeg i den her podcast vil præsentere for en række melodiske metalbands med mellemøstlig og arabisk baggrund, ja, så har jeg valgt, at vi som det første skal høre Mirath fra Tunesien. Kendetegnet for alle de bands, vi skal høre i den her podcast, er deres brug af, hvad kan man sige, traditionelle instrumenter og sounds fra Mellemøsten. Når vi snakker folk metal, ja, så tænker de fleste af jer nok mest på den nordlige folk, hvor traditionel skandinavisk folkemusik kombineres med metal. I virkeligheden er det nøjagtigt det samme, der sker her. Her er det bare brugen af mellemøstlige traditionelle instrumenter og mellemøstlige skalaer, der går igen hos flere af de her bands, vi skal høre i den her podcast. Og Mirath fra Tunesien er bestemt ingen undtagelse her. Jeg havde fornøjelsen af at opleve bandet for første gang på Wacken Open Air. Jeg tror, det var tilbage i 2019. Her, ja, der havde Mirath et kæmpe show med til os, fyldt med skøn arabisk metal, mavedanserinder, flammedansere, flammejonglører og et setup, som jamen, var vi havnet midt i en fortælling fra 1001 nat. Nummeret, du skal høre med Mirath her, hedder Born to Survive, og det er det første nummer fra deres seneste plade fra 2019, Shalihi. Ja, og nyd så lige den her intro her. Det sætter rigtig stemningen. We'll be right back. Ja tak, så blev stemningen altså sat. Her fik du tunesiske Mirath på nummeret Born to Survive. Se, i starten af juli, der udkom den første 12-tommer-split af forhåbentlig rigtig, rigtig mange af en ny serie, der hedder The Peace Series. En serieudgivelse, der skal være med til at sætte fokus på sammenhold og frihed mellem israeler og den arabiske verden igennem metal og den hårde rock. Udgivelsen udkommer via det israelske selskab Taktilim Holim. Og den her første udgivelse, ja, den står altså af en split mellem Israels Orphan Land og palæstinensiske Khalas. Og ja, den udgivelse, den satte altså tankerne i gang hos mig. Simpelthen fordi jeg synes, at historien omkring sådan en udgivelse, den er bare ekstremt stærk. Og jeg tror altså, den kommer til at kunne knytte nogle bånd på længere sigt. Det var derfor en no-brainer, at jeg måtte tage mig en snak med begge de her bands for at stille min nysgerrighed. Kan metal simpelthen være med til at skabe fred i den arabiske verden? Men før I hører det her interview, der får I lidt noget baggrundsviden. Fordi ja, Orphan Land, de har siden 1994 debuten Sahara kontinuerligt udgivet plader, hvoraf den seneste Unsung Prophets and Death Messiahs udkom i 2018. Bandet står som ja, et af Israels vel nok største eksportvarer, når det kommer til metal. De har simpelthen en masse world tours på samvittigheden, og ja, de kommer faktisk også snart til Danmark i 2022. Med sange om blandt andet ja, de forskellige religioner herunder jødedommen og kristendommen og islam, ja, så har bandet dog gentagne gange oplevet at være blevet forment adgang til flere lande i den arabiske verden. Noget, som du skal høre meget mere om i interviewet lige om lidt. Og så har vi Khalas, som er et band med rødder i den palæstinensiske jord. Abed Khatut er guitarist i det her band her, og er en del af det, der nu hedder den palæstinensiske music export, som du også kommer til at høre meget mere om lige om lidt. Og Khalas, ja, de har udgivet to albums, We Had It i 2003 og 2013 udgivelsen Arabic Rock Orchestra. Kobi og Abed, ja, de har kendt hinanden i mange, mange år. Både musikalske kollegaer, men også som venner igennem rigtig mange år. Og begge bands, ja, de har turneret sammen i Europa i 2013. En turné, ja, der udløste en Metal Hammers Global Metal Pris til begge bands til Metal Hammer Awards. Op til det her interview, ja, så er det efterhånden længe siden, at de to venner havde snakket sammen. Og jeg må sige det sådan, det var til at mærke, at der var en stor gensynsglæde mellem de her to musikere og venner. Og jeg må ærligt indrømme, at jeg flere gange i løbet af den her snak, der fik jeg altså solide klumper i halsen. Simpelthen fordi, at det de snakkede om, vagte så utrolig store følelser frem hos dem. Og det smittede altså også af hos mig. I løbet af det her interview, der vil du høre musik fra begge bands. Og ja, inden vi giver ordet til de to venner her, ja, så får du All Is One fra Orphan Lands 2013 udgivelse af samme navn. Og lad mig så lige sige med det samme, når du lytter til Orphan Land, så sørg også for at lytte med på de stærke tekster. Det er en meget, meget, meget vigtig del af bandets udtryk. Her der får du altså All Is One fra Orphan Land.
We are all the sons of the blazing sun. Kobe and Abbott, thank you so much for taking your time to talking with me today. This is basically an interview made from all across the world at the moment, as Abbott, you're situated in Los Angeles at the moment, and Kobe, you are in Tel Aviv in Israel, and this interview is recorded in Denmark. So we are, there's many places going on right now, so hopefully the connection will stick. But guys, as an introduction to the listeners in Denmark at this podcast, please start introduce yourself and your band to me. Maybe Kobe, you will start.
Okay, so I'm Kobe Falche. I'm 46 years old soon, vocalist of Orphaned Land for the past 30 years already. We're celebrating a 30th anniversary this year. Started the band when I was a teenager, and I guess that's about it.
Yeah, but Abbott, please tell me about Carlos.
All right, so where to start? We'll go from the beginning. The whole idea of the band started back in late 90s, and it started because we wanted to listen to metal and Arabic music, but we couldn't find any, so we decided, okay, why we don't do something like that, like, you know, listening to grunge and hard rock music, but with Arabic lyrics. And it's funny that the reason that I started doing like Oriental metal riffs was Orphaned Land, when I came across one of their songs on an Israeli metal compilation, and I fell in love with that music, and I was like, oh, you actually can do like Oriental Arabic metal breaths on guitar. So yeah, and like, you know, a few years later we were touring together. It's still insane, I can't believe it. But yeah, like it started like that, and it's funny that back then the scene, there wasn't no like Arabic metal scene, so like we couldn't just like, if you want to be in a metal band or a rock band, you couldn't just like, you know, join a band and that's it. You had to build something from scratch. So even when we were like wearing red leather pants and jumping and shouting on stage, people didn't know how to react to that. They're like, why are you shouting at us? They didn't understand what we're doing. But we kept going, and it got us like to a few good places. Yeah, like that was like with the first album. When we did that, it's actually was the start of the story with our relationship with Orphaned Land, and like Kobe being my brother. We met, I think it was on a radio station. We were doing interviews.
I think we first met on a rehearsal room, probably on Chaos.
Yes. It was before that, right, yeah.
I remember you guys, we were playing a rehearsal, and you guys just knocked the door and brought us this Arabic sweets, introduced yourself, and bought us your first album.
Yeah.
And that was so great, you know, because we're putting these Arabian elements in our music, and then comes Abed and he's Arab metal bands telling us that we gave them the inspiration to use their own culture in music, and I think these situations explains maybe the complexity of Israelis and Palestinians on a positive way, probably, but it shows the irony of things, and I mean, when Abed gave me the CD, I was half shocked myself, because I didn't know that Palestinians are listening to metal music. I didn't know that they actually connected with distorted guitars or even being aware of the metal scene. So that was a very refreshing moment and an unforgettable moment. I remember it, really. Because of the sweets you gave us, mainly. Yeah. But...
So not the music.
No, but seriously, actually, what was amazing in their first album was the fact that they took one of the songs of maybe the mother of classic Arabian music, Umm Kulthum, and they took one of her classics called Enta Omri, which I used to hear it from. I mean, I live in Jaffa, which is a very mixed today. It's a very mixed city of Jews, Muslims, Christians. And I used to listen to that music from the neighbors at first. It was playing from the Arab neighbors' homes. And I remember that song. And then when Abed gave me the CD, I actually heard that they did a rock version to that song. That was so cool, such a cool thing to do. Still is very, very authentic and up to date.
Yeah, but you guys also did the same with Noura Noura.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's insane like how many similarities and how like this culture is influencing itself all the time. Mm. Like there's so many good things about it, and unfortunately like people focus on the bad things all the time.
Let's focus on the good things. That's because we're here. And so you did this split here together, which I think is, yeah, amazing. And it is obviously released in a time after a long period, sadly, with a lot of uncertainty between Israel and Palestine. So how did the idea of this split emerge? What was the idea behind this split?
Well, basically, the label that released the split, it's a label of a very old friend of mine from Haifa. You have to understand the structure of Israel. There are also mixed cities in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed cities, it means that Israelis and Arabs are living in the same city. It doesn't happen in every city, but it happens in the city where I live. It happens in the city where Abed was born and raised.
Yeah,
it also happened on the city of the owner of the label, which is Haifa. So he is a very old punk and metalhead, a player himself, and he contacted me at first and told me that he wanted to do this piece serious in his label, where he gathered bands from different backgrounds or conflict zones, showing that when there's music, there's a bridge of brotherhood and stuff like that. And immediately, Halas came to my mind, and I told him, "Hey, man, I mean, it's you burst into an open door here, because Orphanland and Halas toured together. Me and Abed are literally brothers, you know. When there was the latest events in Israel and Palestine and Gaza and all over Israel, Abed immediately sent me a message. He sent me a text message, and he told me, anything you might need, I take a plane and I'm coming now. And it's not a cliche or some kind of a gimmick. It's a true friendship over here. And I told Chaim immediately, we should do something with Halas, because we toured together and we're good friends. And I think that this story is always need a replay.
Yeah.
So and we never put both bands on the same vinyl. So
yeah.
I thought this could be a great idea. Chaim immediately contacted Abed, and of course Abed immediately responded and accepted, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
I just want to add that this is a great thing, like that vinyl and that split, it's awesome, but I feel that we will do a full EP, like with new songs released by both bands, like even if that's the last thing I'm gonna do in my life. We're gonna do
Inshallah.
That, and we're gonna tour that.
Inshallah, it's a dream. You know, Abed was always, first of all, I accept the challenge, Abed.
there we go.
And, second, you know, when I was working with Orphanland on, and I wanted Arab text, Abed was always there to make an adaptation, to give me the lyrics, to write me, you know, the precise way to, of writing it in Arabic. It was even more than that. On many occasions when there was a Muslim holiday, Abed was always contacted me and told me, put this sentence on your social media page and greet your Muslim fans. And I just copy pasted it, and it was always so brilliant. So it was so much more than the music and the help. And the only complaint that I can really say about Abed is that he's always insisting on paying the bills when we're drinking beers and smoking shisha, and it's really a fight. It's a true Palestinian-Israeli conflict right there.
That's good.
But, yeah, but I mean,
I just wanted to say that, like, it's for me, I started as a fan of Earthland, and now I honestly consider this band my family. Like, Kobe is truly my brother, and like, I don't think about it like as like, kind of, I feel like this is my band too. Just as Khalas is my band, I feel that Orphan is my band. I'm like, I'm always gonna be there supporting in any way I can.
I was when doing a research for this interview, the word brother and brothers between you guys showed up a lot of times. And of course, Orphan Land, you guys have done a song, Brother. So why is this word brother so important to you guys?
Because like, it's honestly the way that I feel, like, in terms of like my relationship today with Kobe, like, it's just beyond the usual friendship. It's like, we're blood related. Like, if you go like now and we do a DNA test, I promise you, like, you'll find some similarities over there. So it's like, it's not far fetched. It is what it is.
For sure. For sure. I take every word and I agree. And even you know, when my daughter was born, and every time me and Abed spoke about daughter, he always sent kisses from Uncle Abed. It was literally a family connection. I mean, it's always like that, you know. It's just, tell your daughter Uncle Abed is sending kisses. It's just the way we feel. I used to meet with Abed many times. I traveled to his hometown, I think maybe 5 times, just to meet with him, to sit and talk, to smoke nargila. I really think that what the people in our landscape missing is knowing each other and listening to each other, because they're at, you know, at this point, at 2021, I mean, I'm going to a different subject now, but at this point, I think there's no other choice, because I don't see any way that the Palestinians are going to leave this place rather than the Israelis. So the only way for us to survive and to raise our children safely will be to become brothers and to find a way to become brothers and sisters, obviously. I also want to add that I think that historically speaking, Jews and Arabs, Israelis and Arabs are brothers. They are the descendants of Abraham. Both agree about that. Arabs agree that they are the descendants of Ishmael, and Israelis agree that they are the descendants of Isaac, which means we both have the same historical father. So, and I think that if you check our DNA, it's proven already. Me and Abed, obviously, but if you go and check the others, it's definitely there. And what I know from my childhood, when I was brainwashed, I know that I really shaped my opinion about many things based on the media, based on my politicians, and it's always the wrong way to do that. I think that when you are afraid of your enemy, the biggest weakness that you want to show is sympathy for his tragedy. and vice versa. I think that both Israelis and Palestinians are blind to the tragedy of the others. If it's the biggest tragedy of Israelis, the Holocaust, and being so defensive because of that. And of course, if it's the actual tragedy of Palestinians, mainly living in Gaza, and not only. And I think that I always say that brothers should not fight, that's mine and not yours. Brothers always say, what's mine is yours. And I can say that Abed is literally a living example to that, because he never showed up to a meeting with empty hands. and always gifts and always such an open heart. Really, I'm not sure that many of my Israeli friends are that open-hearted, and so I think that many people have a lot to learn, I think, from our friendship. Maybe I'm not objective to say, but I think that, and there's a lot of tragedies around, and we're living literally, I mean, Abed is in LA, but his heart is always here. You can see his posts, the things that he shared. He's a Palestinian. His heart is Palestinian. And we can talk a lot about our friendship and how great it is, but the truth is that we're living in a place of tragedy, where kids are dying, where rockets are flying, when air forces are bombing. And it's... I would, if the genie would come to me, I would duplicate me and Abed million times and put it like rain over the Holy Land, if I could. Yeah. But the only thing we could do is music, so we did a split for a start.
In what way do you guys think that music and, you know, other kind of art can create peace and unite people across, you know, lands like Israel and Palestine?
Yeah, first of all, like, Kobe is 100% right with every word he just said. And I feel and I know, actually, like, the moment that people open up and, like, put themselves in the shoes of the other side, they will have a much better understanding. Like, when I know where Kobe is coming from, it will be much easier to start a conversation towards, you know, peace and, like, being together. So that's, like, that's also something that politicians and media try to block all the time, that conversation, that thing that where people sit together and talk. Because if you ask any Israeli or any Palestinian, what do you want to do in your life? They all will say, will have the same answer, which is, I want to live a life of, like, dignity and have the rights of, like, you know, just like any other human being and raise my children in this great land. No one actually wants to, well, there is the extremists, but 99% of the people don't want to throw the other side to the sea. You know, it's they want to live together in dignity. Like, if you have your family and you have your job and you have your income and everything is great, like, there wouldn't be any reason for, you know, try to fight. All this political, religious bullshit is just crazy. We all human beings and we all strive for the same things. It's very simple. Politics and money make shit complicated. That's it. And back now, answering your question. I noticed that first with when Khalas was performing, for example, in Tel Aviv, and it was, we could see, like, Palestinians and Israelis sharing the dance floor. When we toured with Orphanland, it was the same thing, but, like, much, much bigger. You know, you had Israelis, you had Arabs from all countries, you had endless amount of different flags from different countries, and everyone is happy. Like, you could look on the right, find a bunch of girls belly dancing, and on the left, a bunch of guys headbanging to the same band at the same time. Like, it's insane. You can't find this anywhere else with any other band.
Exactly. I saw, I also, in connection to that, I saw Orphanland at Wacken a couple of years ago, where you also had the Israeli and Palestinian, all the different flags together. It was amazing. Yeah, really.
It's true. It frequently happens on our shows, mainly also in Europe, because unfortunately, due to the tragedy of Syria, the civil war in Syria, so Europe is flooded with Syrian immigrants, and many Syrians got to see our show. It's also the irony of life. Running away from their homes, getting to see Orphanland, something they could, would never thought that would happen. And I want to add to what Abed said. Abed, I think musicians are the only ones privileged to gather in the same hall. Religious people, atheists people, gay people, or people from any kind. If you go to a concert that we did together and you see Israelis and Palestinians and Arabs and Jews and atheists and Christians and gays and lesbians and, I don't know, Buddhists, and just feel the rest, I think that musicians are the only ones that can put these people in the same room for an hour and a half and make them to a one big family. I don't see politicians doing that. I don't see, maybe sports is doing it, but it's competitive and they're not necessarily, I mean, I think everyone can love Michael Jordan, but I think that, that music, singing the same song, it's really it's the biggest church, I think, in our days, where you can gather all these people together, and we've seen it many times. And I think that being a musician is really a great privilege because of that.
Yeah, 100%.
What has been the reaction towards this release from the Israeli and Palestinian fans? Have you heard fans talking about this release? Or
From my side, I just heard good stuff so far.
I know that half of the edition is already sold, and because many people always want to be a part of it, you know, and fans want to be a part of it and to grab it in their hands. And people are always amazed from this simple story as you know, people in Israel are always amazed that we have so many Arab fans, for example. They're not necessarily buying our vinyls because, you know, you cannot really send vinyls from Israel to the Arab world. There's not much of diplomacy these days, so we might get an order or two from the Emirates. But your reaction is always great. And of course, there's always some bad reactions I always get when there is a let's say, a war between Israel and Gaza, or like the recent event. We got a lot of bad feedbacks. Israelis expect us to talk and to take a stand, while also our Arab fans expect us to stand against Israel's policy. And we always find ourselves in this very hard situation, because when we stand on stage, there's no problem. The Arabs and the Israelis are headbanging together. But this shows are just this hour and a half of utopia, and then you go back to the problems, and the problems are bigger than our bands, basically. Mm-hmm. So the fans that supporting this release, obviously feeling that they have something special. People who attended our show feel that they attended a very special event, which they still cherish. At some post, people posted, I don't know if you've seen it, but people posted photos from the 2013 shows that we did together, saying they still remember this and cherish these moments.
Amazing.
And I think that's the purpose of hope. Hope had always been this glimpse of light in a big darkness, if I would be poetic. And that's what we're maintaining here. We're keeping hope, maybe, for today.
Yeah, but I feel that if we manage to change the point of view of one fan, like someone who grew up listening to, you know, let's say listening to Khalas and never had any interaction with an Israeli band or Israeli person, and he, like, through Khalas discovered Orphanland, and that opened his mind to other things, then I think our job is done. And the same thing to the other side. If a fan, like, from Orphanland side suddenly see a Palestinian band on stage, and he's like, oh wait, they do play guitars, they listen to rock music, they're not what all the media is saying, trying to kill every Jew guy they see, you know, I think that's it, we're good.
I would also like to add that just a few years after we toured together, Abed was and still one of the founders of the complete and full Palestinian Music Expo, which is started, like, what is it, 5 years ago?
Abed? Yeah, 2017.
And this is a whole expo gathering Palestinian musicians from the West Bank, Gaza, or in the territories of Israel. And, you know, these musicians never had the chance to play a show in front of A&Rs or in front of record labels. And actually, this expo gave the opportunity for, I think, hundreds of Palestinian musicians to get record deals, to go on tours. And without this expo, we would never hear about them. I would never hear about them. I bought vinyls from some of them, and I would never hear about them if it wasn't for the Palestinian Music Expo. And I have to admit that for me as an Israeli, I'm more privileged to travel wherever I want. You know, in Gaza, you cannot take electricity for granted.
Yeah,
because they have electricity for, I don't know, what is it, 4 hours a day?
Yeah, 4 hours a day.
So these musicians are playing their music, and now they have the opportunity to people from, whether if it's the United States or Europe or the West, to hear them and to sign them. And I think this is a very, very, very important thing that Abed started a few years after we toured together, and and I'm really proud of him that he did it. Just wanted to mention that as well.
Yeah,
Thank you. This is in a way also connected to Orphanland, because me touring with Orphanland and interacting with other musicians who come from a privileged music scene like London or, you know,
Sweden,
France, or wherever, Sweden. Like, it's you have record labels, you have A&R, you have publishers, you have people who know how to record a metal band. You know, we don't have that over there in Ramallah or, you know, Nablus or Gaza or wherever. It's just, and like being there and seeing, okay, so it's like really different mindset to be growing in that scene like that, where, you know, if you have a band 6 months in, you know that you already need to do a professional photo shoot. Very simple. In Palestine, bands go 6 years and 10 years without a professional photo shoot or a professional EPK, because we don't have that knowledge. And we don't, not it's just how to do it, but it's like we didn't imagine that it's needed, because like we don't know how the industry works. And that's one of the things we're trying to change with the Palestine Music Expo. It's like also, again,
fantastic, the relationship. Really fantastic. I mean, it was actually one of my questions, because I'm very curious about the Palestinian metal scene. I mean, obviously in Israel, we have bands like Orphanland, Melkesh, Skardust, and bands like that. But the Palestine scene, I'm not very fond of that. So I'm very happy to hear about this. Is there a place where you can actually go in and listen to some Palestinian bands? Is there a website or...
We do have, there's a playlist on Spotify called Palestine Sounds, which is just not just metal, but a bunch of other artists, and it's a great playlist. Cool. There's a playlist on YouTube for all the artists who performed at BMX. But unfortunately today, the Palestinian metal scene is kind of decreased. Before, we had much more bands. If it's like a band like Chaos from Nazareth, that they did like more
they're not there anymore.
No. Like there was a bunch of bands going on, but today the only band, I think it's called El Container, and it's like not really metal, it's more on the rock side. Unfortunately they're the only active band that I can think of. But yeah, like, hopefully that will change.
Yeah, there are active hip hop artists, and I think that hip hop is the perfect way, maybe even a better way, I would say, without disrespecting the metal scene. But there's
a lot band of called Dam.
Dam is a very good friend with Abed, and they're very important, I think. And Tamer is a very good writer. And I would say hip hop and metal goes together in many ways. You could see a hip hop fan from miles away, and you can see a metalhead from miles away. Because look at me and Abed and you. We're wearing black. Black is our color. And I think that hip hop guys, you can see them from miles away, but you cannot see a blues fan or indie rock fan from miles away. I mean, it you can interpretate, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. With metal people and hip hop people, there's no doubt. This guy is a hip hop fan, this guy is a metal fan. So there's a lot of equivalent things with hip hop and metal, and I think the most important artists from Palestine today, I think they are more from the hip hop scene, or what is the name of this act, Abed? Something 47. You know 47 what I mean?
Soul.
Yeah.
47 Soul.
It's also kind of hipster.
Yeah, it's a mashup between like hip hop and electronic, infused with Palestinian music influences, you know, like yeah. Palestinian riffs from like old folk music, Palestinian folk music.
There is a very famous Palestinian poet called Mahmoud Darwish. Mm-hmm. And I participated on a song that did an Israeli-Palestinian artist called Mira Awad. Abed knows her as well.
Yeah, of course.
So I was also singing one of his songs because there was at one time a very big storm in the Israeli press about one of his songs, and she wanted to show. It's like what we said before: people judge based on a sentence, the whole character of a poet. So Mira wanted to and others with him, and it wasn't a metal song at all. I think that. You know, if you take, for example, the protest movement of South America in the 60s and 70s called Nueva Canción, it was a big protest movement against regimes and government. It was folk music. People were just sitting with guitar and singing. Singers like Mercedes Sosa or Victor Jara, who was actually assassinated by the regime in Chile. And these things are metal in a way to me, if you ask me. I mean, the words and the movement that they did, it wasn't with distorted guitars, but it was really metal to me, if you ask me.
Just one point regarding Mahmoud Darwish. You know that he had an Israeli girlfriend?
Yes, of course.
Her name was Rita.
Listen, you know what keeps me, Abed, what brings me always hope? When I look at Jews and Germans in our times. Mm-hmm. So when you look at World War II, when the grandparents of these people that I smoke hashish now in Berlin,
yeah,
their grandparents sent our grandparents to gas chambers. Yeah. And then you see that two generations after, we're sitting in Berlin or anywhere, we're playing in Germany, and mm-hmm. I see Israelis and Germans smoking hashish, having sex, getting married, eating together, becoming friends. And that is after what happens with the grandparents. And that mm-hmm. always gives me hope about Israelis and Palestinians or about any conflict, whatever,
yeah.
whatever
yeah.
conflict that there is. It proves that we can overcome.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy that he had an Israeli girlfriend. And of course, you know the actor Norman Issa?
Yeah, of course.
he's married to an Israeli, obviously.
Yeah.
And why not?
Mm.
Why not?
Mm.
The more the better, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And so in some countries, there is, you know, a high degree of censorship in what may be sung about in music. I mean, if we go to Poland, Nurgle of Behemoth has just been charged against him for defrauding Christianity. Is there any sort of censorship in that kind of way going on in Israel or Palestine or in some of the Arabic countries close to you? Is there something that you can sing about?
Well, we had a song. So this is the story. We had a song back in the first album called The Naked King. And since we were based in, like, inside the borderlines of Israel, like in Israel, in that city, Akka, we couldn't. We had a song, we had an order from Lebanon for 200 CDs for our first album. And since we couldn't send the CDs directly to Lebanon, we thought, okay, we'll send it to Jordan, and from Jordan, we'll send it to Lebanon. So we sent it through Jordan, and then a couple of months later, the guys from Lebanon says they never got the CDs. So we tried to check where it is, and apparently it got stopped at the Jordanian borders. And they say something about a song that they didn't like. So they have the CDs there, and if we want them back, we should go there and take it. It's no, I'm not going there.
That was not today.
Around 2006. I didn't go to Jordan for a few years after that.
And what was this song about? What was this song about?
It was about, it was a criticism about how kings or any Arab leader who sit on the chair and do nothing for their people, and they rule by family. If he's a leader, it usually goes to their son, or it's the election is always corrupted. In the first album, we had a lot of these criticizing the Arab culture.
Yeah.
So there's always that. I have a friend who got thrown in jail in Jordan for singing a song called Ya Haram Al Kuffar. I don't know how to say it in English. It's Hakufrim Hamiskinim.
The poor infidels?
Yeah.
The poor infidels.
And,
right.
So, and he sang that song in Jordan on stage, and he got locked up for 3 days after that. So that you're going to have this kind of censorship, especially in the Arab world. Probably in Israel is less, right?
Metal music is still an unsolved issue in the Arab world, because the regimes who are still don't know how to figure out guys with long hair and skulls on their, if you go with the Iron Maiden Killers t-shirt, you would immediately considered as Satanist in many places, even in Jordan. I don't think there was ever a foreign metal concert either in Jordan or even Egypt. Sepultura almost played in Egypt and it got cancelled. Opeth almost played in Jordan, cancelled. The only countries that there were metal shows is Lebanon and the United Emirates, Dubai. As far as I know, maybe Abed, you know something else, but this is what I know. And we also have a story about an Egyptian fan that police found a city of ours in his home, and he was sent to jail for 6 months. This was even longer from the case of the Song of Abed, and it was because we literally used parts from the Muslim Quran in our song.
Yeah,
that is completely blasphemy in Islam. We did it in a respectful way, nothing to do any provocate, nothing to provoke. We didn't, you know, wave flags that we did it. We just put it there as a serious text. It was forbidden to do. We claim that the Quran never wrote in the book, "Don't sing me." So
yeah,
we think that the Quran never instructed not to sing the words from the Quran, but obviously, we're Jews, we're Israelis, and we're not there to make an opinion about it. And the guy who had our CD, he was sent to jail for 6 months. And he literally accused with blasphemy in court. So I think that Israel would be definitely the best country in the Middle East in terms of being a metal band. There were metal bands, there are metal bands, local metal bands in Egypt, in Jordan. We toured with a Jordanian band called Bilocate. There's a band from Dubai called Nefsel, and there are bands from Saudi Arabia and from Egypt. Actually, there are a lot of bands. I think if you would research, you will be able to find maybe 100 bands. But they're always walking on the line of, you know, whether if it's okay or not okay to do it, and they're always in this danger of being, you know, caught by the police and stuff like that. I mean, I know that was the case back in the days. Maybe today it's a little bit better due to internet, but still, Sepultura didn't play in Egypt up to this point. And when it goes to Orphanland, obviously, it's almost impossible because having an Israeli band, it's always an issue. Even Abed, who is a Palestinian living in the Israeli territories, in some places he considered to be Israeli. And if he played in Tel Aviv, it's you know, God forbid. So some, I think even Abed had problems being a Palestinian in Israel, right, Abed?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Like, we got, we were supposed to have two gigs, and also that was in around 2012 or something like that. Maybe a bit earlier, but we're supposed to have two or three gigs around Morocco back then, and then, like, I think Morocco, yeah, and it got cancelled by the institution that booked us because we had Israeli passports. We didn't have Palestinian passports. We had Israeli passports, and we told them, like, but we're Palestinian. They said that, yeah, they know, but because of bureaucracy, they couldn't book a band that's Israeli, but, you know, it's so confusing. And, like, we had the gig cancelled also after our tour with Orphanland, when it got announced in Egypt. Also, like, because, you know, us touring with them, it's considered something wrong.
Soon we'll see some progression, and it's good to hear that you guys, Abed, that you're working with new Palestinian metal bands. I think it's very, very strong statement. It's important. And I also think that I mentioned Wacken before. They're doing this Wacken metal battle all across the world. And I saw also Egypt bands playing at Wacken a couple of years ago. And so it seems like they're starting to get something out across the world.
Yeah, it was Odious, right? Odious?
Yeah, I think so, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a very old band. I think they toured with Septic Flesh as well. And yeah. It's definitely a new definition to the world underground when you look at the Arab world. And you know, I remember touring with Khalas. There was also one point that captured me, was that being a Palestinian, everyone always expects you to sing about the conflict, which is a natural thing to do in one way, because we're living, and especially Palestinians are living in a very complex situation. But I remember something, some answer came out in one of the interviews. What if I'm a Palestinian and I want to sing about beers?
Yeah.
What if I'm a Palestinian and I want to sing about rock, if I just want to rock and roll? Yeah. It doesn't mean that I forsake the Palestinian subject. It doesn't mean that I'm not a Palestinian, that I'm not a part of the tragedy. But that was also something that I never thought about it up to the point where I don't know who from the band answered it. I can't remember if it was you or Fadel or anyone, but I never thought about it, because Palestinians are always labeled with the conflict, but there are human beings in there who have dreams, who want, I mean, you know, the kids of Gaza cannot fly to Paris. You know what I mean? They cannot fly to London. They cannot fly to Vatican, for God's sake. It's so they're always labeled with the conflict, and that answer opened my mind to, one, the fact that Palestinians sometimes want to sing about other subjects, but two, to the reality that the Palestinians are, in a way, also prisoners of the conflict in a manner of art.
Yeah.
Because they are trapped over there and they cannot go anywhere, and they cannot sit in Berlin and smoke a joint with someone from Germany and write about sex or love or whatever. So Israelis are privileged in that manner. And I wish the same, obviously, for everyone else. I think there's a lot of music. I think the Palestinian Expo is definitely a good start to give this chance to musicians. It's just insane, you know? You just want to live your life and play music, and it's always difficult, so difficult. And I can... Really, I'm speaking as the privileged here, so Abed knows better than me. And I
always say, like, we get that questions in interviews a lot about, like, why Khalas, for example, in the second album, we didn't do any political song. What we did is we focused on, like, going back to our Middle Eastern and Arabic roots and taking, like, songs that are insanely good and, like, we consider them treasures, and doing a metal adaptation for those songs and reintroduce them to the younger generation. But I always say that you don't always have to sing about politics to be part of a resistance. Like, if you wanna, like, a girl that is belly dancing or, you know, shaking her hips in a Khalas concert, despite of the occupation, in the middle of Ramallah, she's as important as this, as another girl that is walking in demonstrations and shouting.
Yeah.
It's all part of the resistance. It's all, you know, it's all served the same target, which is, you know, end occupation, human rights for all, and us living in peace. That's it.
Yeah. And I think that the new split from you guys is an amazing start for this, and luckily this is only volume one. Maybe, hopefully, there's much more to come for this.
There will be
release.
An EP.
Yeah.
You'll see.
Hey, you heard the man.
Fantastic. Will there be a tour with you guys together again in Europe?
Yeah, we're always open.
Hope so. I hope to see Abed back in Jaffa or in you know, in the Holy Land. Just to sit with him and have coffee and hug him. I just want to hug this man first.
Same here,
brother. We will do it. We will do this EP. And I remember Abed started even working on it at some point. He will be the leader of it. I will follow for sure.
Great. And then, Kobe, we will see you in Copenhagen in April next year.
But guys, I think this is a great time to round up this amazing interview. It was fantastic to have you guys here, and it was like a family reunion again with you guys.
Exactly. Thank you for letting me see Abed and talk to him, because we didn't do it for a while now, and we appreciate it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Hey, stop. Stop it right there. You know, when we toured together, so the last show.
Oh, my God.
It's always, I mean, I'm not going to show the photo now. But, you know, in the last show, the bands are always doing this crazy stuff. And we played the last show in Dublin, I think.
Yeah.
And Ireland is really, really a place of boycotting Israel, and many people, it's a home of BDS sometimes, and we did so many foolish things on stage. I mean really bad things have happened there. I mean, can I tell Abed?
Sure, go ahead.
Sorry. I mean, we're playing one of the songs at the end of the show, and it's like this song with Arabian melody and Jewish words on it. So it's an Arabic Jewish song. And while we're playing it, the guys from Halas with the laptop showing us photos of boobs from the crowd. And I'm being very gentle, okay? And then at one point, Abed got on stage with literally towel. He just had towel on his body. And I think also one of the great points were where they took the drummer of the third band and they made him look like Adolf Hitler. But it's, I mean, sometimes people might not get this, but it was the best moments ever, really. And it was just a good laugh with friends. So this is maybe the way to wrap it up, and let's do it again sometime.
Yeah, let's do
that. I have to find the photo of it.
Sådan lød det altså, da de to venner fra henholdsvis Israel og Palæstina fortalte om, hvordan sammenholdet kan styrkes igennem musik og kunst, på trods af kontinuerlige konflikter. Musikken, du fik i det her interview, var først og fremmest nummeret Brothers fra Orphanlands 2013 udgivelse All Is One, og efterfølgende så fik du Khalas med nummeret Ghana El Khawa fra albumet Arabic Rock Orchestra. Kære lytter, jeg håber, at det her interview har været med til at sætte nogle tanker i gang hos dig, og måske har inspireret dig til at dykke længere ned i musikken fra den arabiske metals verden. Jeg vil i hvert fald varmt anbefale dig at tjekke 12-tommersplitten mellem Orphanland og Khalas ud. Og så vil jeg runde af med endnu et band fra Tunesien. Bandet Navatha udkom nemlig med deres nyeste album Ken's Illusion tilbage i februar i år. Dette er bandets andet album, og fra den der skal vi høre nummeret The Winter Serenade. Kære lytter, tusind tak for at lytte med til den her særlige podcast om arabisk og mellemøstlig metal. Hvis du er sulten efter mere, så kan jeg varmt anbefale dig at tjekke den officielle Spotify-playliste Arab Metal ud. Her finder du en masse god arabisk metal. Og så er der ikke andet at sige end, vi høres ved igen den 1. september.
remembering the pain caused by you. Lying awake in my